Yeah, you can go ahead and get it teed up there, please. Oops.
Oops, I think I have this one, Jerry.
Thanks, John.
That was good.
Rocco, go with the one I just gave you.
You want to just toss that one so I don't mix them?
They're pretty similar, but there's probably got some up there.
It's worked good doing these both at once.
Okay. Good afternoon. This is Julie Fedorchak, gathered still on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for another work session, this one on case number PU-15-482. It's a 1:45 on Monday, November 14th? 16th. November 16th.
14th is when the Bison won the football game, and UND won as well, too.
Lost. Yes. Yes, that's right. Today is the 16th, and we have a work session on the Lindahl Wind Farm project in Williams County. This is the first time since the hearing that we've gotten together to discuss this. We do have a draft order, and I don't have any opening comments, but I look forward to a good discussion on this. I'll ask Commissioner Christman if he has any.
No opening comments, thank you.
All right, then we'll turn it over to the portfolio holder, Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On this particular order, I think this is the first time, as you pointed out, we've had a work session on it, but Jerry and I spent some time on it the last few days, and Brian and I had a discussion as well about it, and those two have staffed back and forth a lot of different versions of the order. We certainly can go through the order, and maybe we probably should, I guess, but for me, all the issues that I had have kind of been worked out as far as what I find with a staff and our attorney on, but I would like to highlight my colleagues to a couple things that kind of came out from the first draft that they put together, and one of them was there's an issue that basically where the county has approved the conditional use permit, but there was some concerns about the city of Tioga not wanting the wind farm too close to the northern part of what they potentially considered a growth area, and so that's when I'm going to let the attorney explain that one exactly, but it basically comes down to me that as part of the project, part of the southern part of the wind farm that we may want to include, I think we should include in the project area, because then it gives us the appropriate setback from a occupied residence to a turbine. If we don't include that part of the project area, it gets a little muddy, and there wouldn't be any turbines in that area, but it is kind of confusing the way that we might be, I won't say contradicting ourselves, but some of the, for lack of a better term, the phraseology that we use in our orders. And one of the other ones I had asked for some language in there about the Eagle, since we did open up the Rolette wind farm about that, to put more clarifying issues in there. But really, for me, I thought they did a good job with the setbacks, with the shadow, with the noise. There was some concerns from the public about some overbuilding in certain areas, but I think that the company's done a good job on those. So subject to questions and maybe further explanation of that one point, I thought this was actually a pretty clear, clean hearing. And we had, you know, Senator Russ came up there, the local individual testified for it. They've really done their homework on it. So I didn't have any particular issues of concern other than just that one. I thought that kind of is a big deal. I know we've talked a lot about project areas. So maybe have Brian or Jerry explain
not
that.
Going through like word for word, but just kind of
sure
in chunks. Maybe you or Jerry can kind of go through the key things,
because
I haven't seen this.
Okay.
I saw the one that the attorney sent in, but I haven't seen the draft that staff put together. So,
okay, so this is pretty similar to what we got from their attorney.
Okay.
And really just pretty minor changes throughout. I guess I'll skip the preliminary statement if that's okay.
Yeah.
And we'll just go to the finding of fact, and the first three, four, five paragraphs are pretty routine. Describe the. Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can find a place where we can go to get going. Seven.
Mm-hmm.
Was language on the airport authority. If you remember, they initially expressed some concerns with the project, and there was some correspondence that went back and forth with them, and in the end, they were happy with an FAA determination of no hazard, and that determination of no hazard will be filed when they get it.
So this says that they haven't received it yet, but if they do receive it, then Tioga Airport Authority is satisfied?
Yeah, that's where we're at. And I don't believe we've got it yet, but it's always a requirement that mm-hmm. they file permits, all their permits.
Maybe this would be a good time to jump in on number sure. 8, because that's what Commissioner Koch had been referencing previously with regard to the southern portion of the project area. I think the potential confusion here arose from the city expressing that it did not want the project where it was originally located. Lindahl did move the project to the north slightly, and it's out of the jurisdiction of Tioga as far as siting requirements go, or granting of conditional use permits and those type of things, and it is within the jurisdiction of the county. The company did go to the county and get the conditional use permits for that, so as far as the governing authority that would have jurisdiction over this from a local perspective, it appears that Lindahl has satisfied those requirements and received that the conditional use permits that would be necessary for this.
So it's 4 miles outside of the city limits?
That's correct.
Did they shift it up, or did they just cut off 2 miles of the southern?
They just didn't put any turbines in Lindahl or in Tioga Township.
Okay.
They left the part of that section in the project area, and the reason for that was the setback that Williams County has requires 2.5 rotors diameters from the edge of the project area, really, from a non-participating landowner. And so if that person's not in the project area, they won't meet that setback.
And so what did they do to mitigate that?
They just didn't put any turbines down in that part of the project area.
Okay.
But that is the pinch problem. Just one thing I'll throw out there. The previous order I asked to vote on Wednesday, but this one I don't want to try to vote on this thing Wednesday, just so you guys know I'm not thinking December meeting.
Okay.
But this is one of those that I think that I've never quite seen this kind of scenario before. But it's what Jerry said is accurate. They moved the turbines to the north, but we're in a situation where if we don't include that southern part, well, I shouldn't say south of that magic line in the project area, it's harder for the company to comply with the county setbacks because we'd have not included something in a project area, so it doesn't comply. So by putting it in the project area, we help the county comply, but then we've put something in the project area, we know we're not going to put any wind turbines in. It's really hard to get your head wrapped around that.
Well, I almost need to see it on a map.
Do we have an Exhibit 6 handy?
What?
I do.
Which one?
I had it on my screen here a minute ago.
We had the whiteboard geared up, we could, but I think if you draw it on a piece of paper, it's because once they explain it to me,
if we have 6 here, we can show it to you real fast.
It's, I have Exhibit 6 right here.
It's just that piece in Section 5 that is in the other township,
it's,
right?
It's just that kind of weird-shaped figure with nothing in it at the very south end of the project.
You want to bring, I don't have it, Brian. I'm sorry.
I'll just pull it right out of the binder.
Yep. Okay.
and these are disturbing.
Okay, but talk about these setbacks that Brian was just saying.
This turbine right here.
Yep.
Is T37.
Okay.
It's too close to the, if the border was right here, it would be too close to the, this would be a non-participating landowner.
Mm-hmm.
And we would be too close to the setback is from a non-participating landowner's property line of 2.5 rotors. We wouldn't make that if this guy is not included. And plus, well, he's a project participant. If he's not included, that means he can't be a project participant anymore.
So, does he have towers?
No.
Didn't they have some criteria for participants who weren't within the boundary of the project, but they
what
were
do you mean?
Adjacent to it? I thought they had people who weren't in the project that were still project participants of some sort. I'm saying they paid people.
I think
outside.
Anybody in the project area, unless they've been kept out of here, and I don't see any like that, are, whatever that is, are project participants.
Participating landowners outside several executed easements and will be paid even though not being used. Oh. Neighborhood agreement. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay,
of.
That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't be a participant if he got booted out and he wouldn't get the money. That's
why
right.
Couldn't he be a neighbor? I have the neighboring
I
agreement.
I don't know. I guess I'm not real familiar with their whatever their easements,
I mean,
and their compensation stuff
him,
is
fine.
Other than what we just.
Isn't it the project area, though, is a part of the challenge? We need to define that in the project area. Otherwise, it changes the way the county would look at it.
Well,
whether he gets paid or not, that's...
Is this two different counties here and here?
No.
Two different townships.
See, that's the magic line. If the township line was to the south a mile, it wouldn't matter. But just the way the township permit laid out, it says they want to make sure they're also participating. So if we take that out, then they're not participating.
It's not. There's really got nothing
not
to do with.
This at all.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with that. It's Tioga Township, other than that's the only thing in Tioga Township.
So are we in this? Are we including this or excluding it? In this?
We're including this in the project area, but they've agreed not to put any turbines in there in their township or in their county permits.
And you're opposed to that, Brian?
No, not at all. I think that's the right way going forward. But in previous cases, we've had some robust discussion about little things sticking out of a project area that we know aren't going to have turbines in them, so we've taken them out.
I see.
In this area, I would recommend not doing that.
Okay.
So I like the way it is, but I wanted to have the discussion because, quite honestly, we've had discussion about taking that out in the past and some of these little fingers off to the side.
Oh, well. If I can use your microphone and I can point and we can all see it, except Brian.
The other Brian.
Bring your microphone over here. You
know, at the very least, if the concern is really just being within the tipping distance, instead of 320 acres in an odd shape, we could have 80 acres up here and that would cover it, or a quarter and it would cover it. You know, you start doing this, well, what if it went 3 or 4 miles over here with this to get a landowner that was popular and they wanted? Or what if it was over by Medora, you know, just to have someone that they wanted? I really continue to dislike when these projects are larger than necessary. I get that you might need to add a 40 or a 80 or a quarter or whatever is a convenient chunk of land, but that seems over the top, I think.
So you're suggesting just a quarter or
yeah.
whatever.
The company would resist that because that's all one guy there. That's all one landowner, and his entire parcel's in there. He's a participant. They put his land in it, so it follows his property boundaries. So that's my understanding.
Since they've agreed not to put any turbines there.
That makes Tioga happy.
And it doesn't change anything for the landowner. He's not going to have turbines. So he doesn't need more land in there?
Well, if you take his land out, he won't be paid as much money.
No, but the company can change that.
Well, they're not going to give money outside the project area, I don't think.
No, I'm just saying if you make it smaller, yeah, like Randy's suggesting.
And I guess I'm saying that it'll affect that landowner.
Well, and that's fine, but I think that was why I wanted to highlight it, because I thought Commissioner Crispin might have that viewpoint, and I think that your solution sounds fine to me. I just want to make sure we include something there that gives the appropriate setbacks, and I guess that I'll let the company figure out the payment method is my thought. Put what we want that's the right size.
Yeah. I would think that they wouldn't change the payment to the landowner.
Suggesting to change that property boundary or change that project area boundary here?
It's not something I feel super strongly about, but if it makes a difference for Randy's support of the project, then I think...
My vote does not hinge on that. But at some point, I think we have to figure out where would we stop that.
That's kind of why I brought it up, because if this is a sticking point where it could cause you not to support it, then I think we should move it up. If you're fine the way it is, then we could just leave it and move on. But that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I don't want to not have full disclosure as we talk about these issues.
Yeah, I appreciate that. One thing about in this case, you know, we're talking about depending on what size of a chunk you would, I mean, I don't want to start breaking it down into 5-acre pieces either, but, you know, depending on whether you do an 80 or a quarter or what, you're not talking a vast amount of additional acreages here either. It's just that it's kind of misshapen, so it draws more attention to it. But I guess we continue to grow and learn. And
right.
I don't know. I probably, in retrospect, I wish I'd have dug a little deeper in that during the hearing.
Okay.
Would you hate that? All right. Okay, so that's number 8.
So
right, we're done with that?
So just to be clear, we're leaving it alone?
That's what I believe, yes.
Okay.
Unless.
All right. Floor's yours, Jerry.
Okay, we finished 8.
What do we have in there? I just can't contradict myself. That says they can't put thing in there in the future. They can't because they don't have the county has told them no, right?
Yeah, they agreed with the county.
Okay, so that's covered no matter what happens there.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So that case, I think into the...
I'm just going to interrupt and just to point out one of my concerns with this kind of thing, you know, maybe it's 50 years from now, who knows? Some project that's of significant importance to the local people, and maybe by then whoever owns that land wants to participate, and then whoever might own this by then, you know, they don't even keep the same ownership from hearing to construction, is able to nix these things. And, you know, we don't know what it is. It's my same concern with perpetual easements, why North Dakota limits easements to 99 years. We don't know what's going to happen a long time from now. And that's why I'm concerned about these projects using the resources that ultimately end up costing the ratepayers to, you know, pick and choose and make people happy. But who knows what concerns it causes down the road. But like I said, this is a small acreage, but I just wanted to finish clarifying that point.
Say one more thing on 8 before we leave it. I don't have any notes to suggest, and I'm forgetting for sure if somebody from the city showed up at the hearing to testify on behalf of the city.
I don't.
So the only information we have from the city was the initial letter. Was there then the project boundary was changed? Did they provide an additional letter after the boundary was changed?
I have to look.
I don't recall ever seeing one.
To say we feel better about it or we still are opposed to it for X, Y, and Z reasons.
The way I remember the testimony coming out at the hearing and after kind of reviewing the stuff that's filed right now, the company couldn't really come to great completely agreeable terms with the city on this, and they kind of just realized that they're not within the city's jurisdiction, so they went to the county to get the conditional use permits because that's who had jurisdiction over the land on which this project was going to be located. I don't think that the city ever completely signed off on it, at least via a letter or by testimony at the hearing.
They did not testify at all at the hearing, right? No one from the mayor, city council members?
There's somebody from the Board of Township Supervisors, I believe, who did show up at the hearing and testified, but nobody from the city that I can recall.
Okay. I'm going to just step out for 1 second and grab my exhibit book because I remember a letter from the city in something.
I think it was in the initial application.
Yeah. Gerald Gorick testified as township supervisor, but I don't have any notes of anyone from the city.
That's all I remember. There's an exhibit list here that would tell us. Yeah, this is
the
initial
letter from them, right?
This is the initial letter from Tioga dated February 23rd.
Okay.
It's just them stating that they making a recommendation to Williams County that the Lindahl Wind Farm is not in the best interest of the citizens of Tioga.
But that's the only correspondence we've got from the city?
I believe so. Yeah.
Then the point was that the county has the jurisdiction for the permit, and the county supported the permit.
Correct.
And that's the pinch.
And I think that the whole thing was just move those turbines out of that area, which they did. I can't remember the testimony that everybody was happy, I think.
Other than some of the adjacent landowners, but yeah.
Do we ever give special status? I'm trying to think back to my mind about legislators coming and testifying. I don't know that we ever really have in the past, have we?
You know, we have not put anything down about public testimony unless it's something that we did some action on.
Okay. It's in the official record, but we don't highlight it, right?
Yeah.
Agencies, we would.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's keep plugging away. Let Julie, she'll be back, and we'll bring this back up again. So we'll come back to that when she gets back.
I think that brings us to project description. And so they were looking at several different turbine models.
We found the letter from the
city.
Yep, it's exhibit number 4.
Ah, there it is.
And turn right to it.
What?
Turn right to it.
Yeah. This was... last February.
I think the last sentence of the first paragraph kind of summarizes everything quite well.
But was this before or after they shrunk this size?
This is what caused the initial friction.
This is what triggered them to make
to move those turbines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we don't have any input from the city post moving the turbines?
You know, I don't think that we do.
I don't believe so.
Can you just confirm that just change it from I don't think so to we don't?
Yeah.
I believe that we don't, but I want to make sure.
I believe we don't either, but
I think
have the record memorized.
What we have is the testimony in the record of what they did afterwards, but I'll double check.
Okay.
I And I get, and as far as the county, that I don't recall that it passed. They got the permit, but it wasn't a unanimous vote. I remember that coming out in the testimony.
It was like 4-3 or 3-2. I think there's something similar that went on with the township too, if I remember correctly.
And while we're on that point, I marked two places here where we talk about them getting approval from Williams County. But in this, was the testimony not that these organized townships have retained their zoning authority and that they need zoning approval from the townships?
I don't recall that we had any conditional use permits from townships required. I can double check on that too if you want to make sure.
Please do. Because that's, I can't find anything specific that I wrote down, but that's what I had in my head leaving there. That at least in the case of Lindahl Township, where Mr. Gerald, I can't remember his last name now, testified, I thought that was a township that had retained its zoning authority.
Yeah, and to the extent that they had a meeting for the purpose of zoning, I don't remember. I just remember him coming up and testifying that he was at various meetings. I think some of it was in defense to some of the other comments that some mm-hmm. other individuals from the community made. So to the extent that the meetings he was in attendance for were directly related to zoning this project, I guess I would have to go back and listen to that testimony and check to see if they have jurisdiction over that.
I need clarification whether these townships in that area have authority.
Yeah, I'll find out.
No, and if so, whether they've granted approvals.
Yeah.
Because we've seen difference with townships and power line sightings, so that's a great point.
So, okay, we're up to 12. So they were looking at...
Maybe break that out a little bit when you guys do the reorder. Paragraph 8, break that out into a couple extra paragraphs with all this stuff. Don't try to put it in one big block. If that's so, sometimes it's easier to read, if that's okay with you guys.
Okay. So under 12, they would pick one of the five different turbine brands that they're looking at or something similar to that?
And did the layout accommodate... Was this the one that provided a layout that accommodated every turbine type?
I think so.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. One location would accommodate the biggest one, and that's... We saw one recently, if that was...
Okay. The way the turbine layout went on this thing, I think they were looking at using two different turbine sizes. And they did the turbine layout up in such a way that they assumed that they'd meet their turbine spacing requirements and stuff like that for the smaller turbine in some areas and for the larger turbine in other areas. And then they decide after they get their turbine selection and everything exactly where they would, or how many of those bigger turbines they would use type things. So the project layout was supposed to be good for whatever they planned to do with all of these different options that they have.
Okay.
Jumping back a little bit, Jerry kind of tied that a little bit, I think, but on page 2, number 4, Lindell Wind has executed a power purchase agreement. You know, I know we've had discussion amongst the three of us about putting that kind of language in there, but I really, unless my colleagues really think it adds a lot, I don't like putting in there they've got power purchase agreements, especially we don't even, I mean, it's not really.
I was thinking that was out. I'm sorry, Brian.
Well, I mean, I know at different times we've had some folks have wandered in there, but it's, I don't know, where was that in the record, and is it really needed? So I just, especially if we don't know exactly
what it is. Well, it isn't required, and so I think that does make it, by putting it in there.
Then it gets a life of its own.
Suggests that that is a requirement, and it isn't.
So anyway.
It doesn't make a lot of difference to me. But that, or I don't mean even specifically this issue, sometimes it concerns me that they come into a hearing like this and they say all kinds of things and might not be important to us, but maybe it's important to all the other people in the room. And then because it's not one of our details, we don't mention it. And so are they required to follow through then? But the fact of the matter is lots of people heard them say under oath that that was the case. So, I don't know how to what
follow
extent
through with
we
what?
Should. Well, if they chose to do something else with the power, wasn't one of the discussions up there from someone that, you know, they're selling it to a company that provides power to us right here, and we need the power, and it's important. Now, if they decide to sell it to whatever company that serves New Jersey, I don't know, would people have viewed the project the same? Because
the reality is it wouldn't change our order, though.
Yeah. It probably wouldn't change our... Maybe we should be cutting them off more in the hearings. It bothers me they come in to a room full of people and make a case and use certain points, but well, then don't want to be held to that.
I've been getting calls from, you know, landowners that aren't happy with some of these projects, and one of the things that they keep bringing up is this power goes out of state. It's for somebody else. It's not for us. Why do we need to put up with this? In these cases, that's not true. I mean, well, I'm sure some of it finds its way out of state, but really the reason this is needed is for the oil field development, and it's right there in the oil field. So just
well, yeah, and I mean, I hear what you're saying, Randy. I don't think the companies are I haven't heard any objections from the companies for keeping in there. I think we've been more uncomfortable putting in there because it suggests to...
Yeah, it doesn't pertain to our responsibility.
The public that we have some... that that's one of our criteria, and it isn't. And if it should be in the future, then I think the legislature needs to direct us in that way, and maybe they will.
And I don't have an objection to taking it out either. Just I'm trying to think through how to handle these cases as we continue on. Should we be allowing them to use all these selling points in our hearings if they're not the things we want to deal with? I don't know.
Well, that's fair, and I think that part of the discussion is that I always get, okay, this is Basin Electric, which we don't have jurisdiction on rate setting, but we start putting in there that when we haven't done it yet, but they've signed a power purchase agreement with MDU, and it's in this order, then people think we've approved that, even though that's a whole separate proceedings in there. So we've never put it in there for anything but Basin Electric, but particularly in this one, the language shows that for the entire output of the project, I mean, they don't know that. So I just, unless you guys really want to, I just
no,
read that stuff out
I'm okay with removing it.
Okay.
Not to belabor this, but it isn't kind of an important issue moving forward. I guess we should consider how much it does potentially impact citing criteria from the
purpose and need,
economic development impact, and you know there are different criteria related to that, and so it is, I suppose, something that we could probably be looking at more if we really wanted to.
Well, Randy's point though was spot on though, where we as the Clean Power Plan unfolds, you know, we're potentially having siting hearings where we know that all the power is going to be leaving the state. And so when a company comes in and says, we've signed something with Basin, that doesn't mean it's not going to head right down to Oklahoma.
Right, and that's why I'm saying back the same to your point. Thing. Like, we should probably be looking into how much jurisdiction or how much weight we could put on that criteria moving forward from a legal standpoint for that very reason.
Not to give legal advice, but I think none. It seems to me like whether or not they're selling that power to out-of-state or in-state has no bearing on our citing of it, and whether the power is needed or whatever the purpose of the thing is has no bearing either.
It may not have bearing on what we decide, but it has a bearing on what the public thinks.
Our thing is, where are they going to put it? Where are you going to put it?
Yeah, but minimal impact, minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of North Dakota citizens.
You might have an end on the welfare of the
North Dakota citizens.
Yeah.
And because it says North Dakota citizens.
If they're getting to you, if they're benefiting from the power. It's
so, yeah.
I will say this.
Not for this issue, but.
I hesitate to get into that things are okay as long as they're used here, but not for export.
Right.
Because most of what North Dakota does is about exporting. We only have 700,000 people here. The food we raise, the other energy we produce,
right.
It's all, not all, it's substantially for exporting. And so I don't know that these are a lot different really either.
No, yeah. I agree, but I do think we're going into a new territory here where we could be seen as a state that is, you know, widely used for wind production to benefit others.
I just like to leave it out unless there's a big reason why you guys want it in there.
I think it's something we should, at some point when we have free time, you know, right. potentially have a work session on and think about, should we have a rule? Should we be pushing for a law? Do we not think that it's even a factor for us to consider? But I'm fine with, for a specific case that's already had the hearing, of removing it. But I don't think it should be completely forgotten either.
And I do think there is a way you can work that in as to a weighted factor under the citing criteria. It's under 6906.05.01, subsection 6. The benefits to be considered include the use of primary energy source located within the state. I mean, there's a way to work that in to give it some weight if the commission so desires. But for the purpose of this, I don't really see any legal impact going one way or the other.
Well, in our prudence, in other airings, the prudence is, if it's built in North Dakota, it's looked at differently if it's built out of North Dakota. So there's things in law now that put extra benefit for having things in the state. So I think something to flush out.
And one of the other criteria taken into consideration is a commitment of a portion of the energy produced for use in the state. So, I mean, right there is kind of where that can play a factor in this, too.
Okay.
So in the end, are we taking it out?
I believe so,
yes.
Okay. I've already forgotten what number it is, so could you tell me and I'll remark?
No, four.
The first sentence of number four. The second sentence I'll probably keep somehow.
Sure, energy be delivered to the physical point. That's fair.
I'll find a place to stick it. That was funny, right?
Wouldn't have been my first choice of words, but...
Right. Now that I sidetracked you, where you were at, Jerry?
I think we were up to, we were done with 12, I think.
Well, sure, we were talking about power, all right.
And 16, construction, fourth quarter of 15 or spring of 16, occupation or in service next year to meet the production tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
Cost $248.5 million.
Okay.
Okay, so the next thing is the selection criteria paragraph. That's pretty standard, and then exclusion areas.
On the end of page 5, the end of that big monstrous first paragraph, there's an N that's still underlined, just a happy to glad.
Where?
Oh. Right here.
Exclusion areas was just the standard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
reflection and policy criteria is pretty standard language.
Mm-hmm.
Cultural resources. If I'm remembering right, I don't think we had the SHPO concurrence yet. And so they'll file that along with a inventory report. Yeah, the Class 3 survey, we didn't have it yet. So there's language in here that they file that as well. if you recall, we had some differences in the way we were handling the SHPO stuff. For the longest time, we weren't getting cultural resource surveys because SHPO didn't want to be public information. And so I understand now that we're back to getting them again, and SHPO's fine with it as long as we don't put them on the web.
That's a policy change that nobody talked to us about.
Yeah, that's what I've been instructed, is to get the Class 3 surveys now. And
well, by who?
Don't put them on the web, Pat.
Okay, what from the SHPO has told us that they've changed their policies, because we got a policy letter from them telling us to not do it. So we want something back from them telling us to do what you just said, and just something verbal.
Let me ask Pat if there was a policy letter or something. All I know is that he said we're doing
it. You guys know about that? I didn't know about that.
Nope.
So let's just flush that out, Pat.
Yeah.
I'm not saying what you're saying is incorrect, but I want something that they made a big stink about us not having this stuff. And in fact, you don't put it out on the web, it's still public information. Somebody just has to ask, and we give it up. That's our job.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really change too much here, does it, in this?
Well, other than me, I've inserted in here the copy of everything to the commission. And so if we weren't changing the policy from SHPO on that, I wouldn't have that kind of language in here.
Well, until you can, we got some time here, but let's flush this out, Jerry, because if we can't find a letter from the SHPO saying they want us to, they support the policy change or something, let's leave it the way we used to do it.
Yeah, I'll go back to Pat and see what he's got on that.
Okay. And then could you actually add that to future commission discussion to give us an update to that?
So you want like an admin thing?
Yeah, if that's okay with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see where we're at. Because that's not a, maybe you could even add it to Wednesday.
I'll see if Pat can talk to it on Wednesday.
Yep. Yeah, because you're gone.
Because I'm
cool.
Gone, yeah.
And I'll make a note of it too.
Okay. I think the next thing of substance is probably the Eagle language we added, 36. The second sentence.
Mm-hmm. Once again, we know we talked about this before, Jerry. I think this is the right track, but there's somewhere in here where the fact that the data obtained from North Dakota Game and Fish said no eagle nests were identified, we've learned that the Game and Fish just has a database of what people tell them. Mm-hmm. So we got to somehow make the connection that they studied this.
We did. They did a field survey of the project area.
Right, and that to me carries the weight, not the fact that the data came from the North Dakota Game and Fish showed no eagle nests were identified.
Okay,
the fact that they studied it is what...
I put both in, that there was a field assessment and a checking of the Game and Fish records.
But do you see my point, though, about trying to... I don't want people to think just because you look at the North Dakota Game and Fish and there's no eagle's nest that means there's none out there.
Maybe it's that sentence where you say, per datum obtained from NDGFD, no eagle nests were identified. Maybe you should just say, per data. Oh, that's within 20 miles of the project area. How much was their field survey?
The project area.
20 miles?
No, the project area.
Oh, okay.
They
so
surveyed
maybe
the
just...
project area, and then they did game and fish records Okay. In addition to that.
So you don't say, I think you just need to clarify that the field survey at the project area concluded no eagle nests were found, and per data obtained from Game and Fish Registry, no eagle nests were identified within 20 miles. So there was a field survey of the specific area, no eagle nests. Data survey of a much broader area, no eagle's nest. You have to mention both of those. You say that they did a field survey of the first one, but you don't say that there was no eagle nest found there.
Okay.
Right.
So it makes it sound like the only place where they checked for the eagle nest was on that North Dakota Game and Fish database.
And then this is really getting wordy, but maybe we'll see the next draft. But per data obtained from the North Dakota Game and Fish, who is the collection of reported eagle's nests for the state? I don't know.
Yeah.
To further clarify that, that's not the one-stop shop.
Who?
The North Dakota Game and Fish.
Well, it is for the eagle nest survey. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service directs.
No, but there's nobody. They only collect what's reported to them. So if somebody just goes and looks at that.
But there is no other database. It's the only database that exists.
I understand that. I'm just trying to understand.
That's why it's important to say that they did the field surveys, too, of the project area.
Which resulted in no eagle's nest in the project area.
Correct.
Boom. Okay.
Now, in the field survey, we're talking about raptor nests.
Sure. Eagles, bald eagles, golden eagles, hawks.
Yeah. But the Game and Fish database, we say eagle nests. Do they have the database of hawk nests and all raptors? Or it's almost like two subjects. One's much more inclusive than the other.
And you know, I'm not an expert in that, and I don't know what they've got, and I don't know if they can tell the difference.
And, well,
I mean, I'm sure they can if they get up there and look at them, but and whatever experts they got, they can tell the difference between an eagle's nest and or a bald eagle or a golden eagle or a raptor of another kind, like a.
So I didn't know you were supposed to report eagle nests to the Game and Fish Department.
Nobody does. That was my point.
If I seen one, I wouldn't probably be unless there was an eagle in it. I wouldn't know whether it's an eagle nest or something else.
There's probably no requirement in law that says you have to report it.
I don't know that I would have ever thought of calling the Game and Fish Department and telling them I seen that nest. So I don't know if there's really any usefulness to that, or do most people know that you're supposed to do that and report these things?
No, that's a good point, but it's like the Historical Society, too, you know.
It's a perfect parallel, just because the SHPO says there's no culture of things out there of what they know. Yeah. As we go through into the field surveys, they add a whole bunch of stuff to the cultural database. So it's the same thing as they do more of these eagle surveys, then they're probably going to be adding more to the Game and Fish database. That's a perfect analogy, Jerry. But I think Julie's comments are right on if you clean that up a little bit.
What I'm going to do is clarify that the field surveys didn't find any eagle's nests either.
Perfect. Apparently you have some background in communication commission. And he talked about they're a member of the Whipping Crane Action Group, so I think that covers those whooper concerns.
I will tell you that over the weekend I was looking at a big nest, and only because of this work, I was thinking, so I wonder if that might be an eagle's nest, and how would I possibly know?
Let's go climb up there and look. No, don't do that. That was a joke. Not a good one.
Were you listening to it? Okay. We were, the way it came up was, do we have a letter or something from SHPO saying that we can have their information now? And just as long as we don't put it on the web?
That's still pretty. The that's really up in the air yet. The SHPO is asking some of the archaeology consultants to not provide their archaeology reports to the commission, and only provide the summary. Some of the companies are, some of the consultants to the applications are providing all of the information. We're asking them to provide it in a separate appendix, including any markings on the map would be in that separate appendix as well. Anything that shows the location of a...
Well, why don't we do this, though? Why don't you get this on the admin schedule and give us a full update of what's going on here, Pat? Mm-hmm. But for this order, Jerry, let's make that like we've done in the past. Just keep it clean.
You know, I'll check the letter as well and see if the...
Okay.
So basically, I'll just... stuck in here about filing a copy of the... of the survey.
We need a letter of SHPO concurrence.
Yep.
But yeah, Pat, can you add that for the agenda on Wednesday and just give
for
us
discussion?
A quick
okay, discussion? Okay, sure. The orders that, at least the orders that I've written recently when I get to the SHPO part, I say if they have the letter of concurrence, I indicate that there has been a letter of concurrence. And most always the SHPO says, as long as the company, as long as the project is as the company has filed it, described it to the SHPO, and as long as the company takes the avoidance measures or mitigative measures that they promised to in the report, then they're okay with, then they offer the concurrence at that point. So I always repeat that in the order.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Now, I don't recall any really controversial things from here on out, did you guys? Thanks, Pat.
Did we ever hear back from them on some of those people who wished to not have all that activity in the that one state lands area?
No.
And if they would move up or not have two of those, or
I've heard nothing from the company or anybody in regards to changing the turbine layout in that area.
Neither have I.
Back to the SHPO stuff, then. We don't need to put anything on admin now? Is that what?
No. We want it on admin.
Okay.
It's a general discussion about what the SHPO's telling us.
Okay.
But for this order here in the Rowlett, if you just take that out, then we'll be cool.
Okay.
And then to Julie's question, I guess I thought that we hadn't heard anything either, but I guess I wouldn't be supportive if they start moving stuff there. It goes somewhere else, and that changes the scope of the project. Then we go back to...
Well, no, my point was you have several alternative locations. Use those.
The school, the State Board of Lance Gaby's group, they are participants and had approved it, right?
There was quite a bit of... testimony, and I think a couple of exhibits or something from the school trust land there that they talked about how they went through and located those in that section. It was a process that the school trust lands do, and it was kind of extensive is all I really remember about it. There was a
one thing about it when those
there was a couple of landowners there, if you recall, that they are, I'm thinking 3/4 of a mile or so. We have to look at the maps and make sure, but away from the the turbines that are going to go in, there was a string of three turbines that ran kind of in a straight line going north and south on the east side of the section, 16. And the landowners that didn't like it are outside the project area and probably a 3/4 mile east of the of it there.
Right. Well, this is where I think that wind developers could do a lot to minimize their opponents in the community. There was several folks. I mean, the strongest testimony we heard was from this area. And they have alternative locations. They might not be the best, but there's 59 towers here. We're talking about a couple of them. And so it's disappointing to me that they didn't make any kind of an effort at all or even submit anything to us saying why they aren't going to. Because I think it was pretty clear that that was of high value, at least to me. So, this is one of those projects that has mixed reactions in a community. So they should be doing what they can to minimize that.
Commissioner, if you want to ask for more information, I'm not against any of that stuff. If you want to know which turbines particular that you think that they should have a little more rationale,
the three I'm talking about there are the ones that were bothering those people.
Give us the numbers.
Section 16, the green section there.
That last row going north.
The row, north, south, row going north and that are the closest. Rows.
So T70, T151, and T152.
Let's see. I don't have my map with the names on them.
Is that what we're all thinking here?
Yeah, and then if you look over, there's three more in that section as you go
right to the west.
But it was those three. And, you know, as you look at it, the landowner's place was probably in the northeastern part of 15 there, if I'm remembering right.
No, that's right. That's exactly right. There's a quad there where the BB and the EE.
Yep, and then I think there was another landowner down on the very north side of 22 that was complaining about them, too.
Right, the two participating outside project area.
No, I will say that the flip side to it, though, is one thing about these projects, you know, the people who are getting turbines are usually happy, and the ones who have to look at them are less happy. Mm-hmm. One thing about wind, be it mining or wind farms, when it goes on the school land, everybody in the state gets some benefit. So we take them off the state land and put them on private property, and everyone in the state has a little less revenue.
Non-participating, isn't it?
Flip side of it.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, Madam Chair.
Well, we can't really ask the company for more information now, though.
We can open up hearings again if we want to.
We did make the point. Did I ask for anything on that at the hearing?
I don't recall there being any late-filed exhibits that were going to be filed with regard to that. As far as asking for additional information at the hearing, I'd have to go back and listen to the record again. I don't remember specifically.
One would think that Lindahl Township and Williams County would be the ones who would be pushing to take care of two or three homeowners that are somewhat close by and shifting to the alternates.
Well, I don't know when they go through their process how much they look at the actual specifics of the site when they go through their zoning process.
Because it was school trust lands, whoever the agency is, State Land Department, has a process for what's going to go on those lands. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stuff in this section. And according to the testimony, they were careful laying it out to make sure everything works.
Right.
The landowners that are upset by it, they are quite a ways away. On the other side, I do see Julie's point that they sure could make them happy just by maybe making those alternate turbines or something if they would.
When you look at how long this project is going to be in existence and how long some of these folks have lived in this area, it seemed like a pretty reasonable request on their behalf. And so I'll have to think about it a little bit. I'll talk with Jerry.
Okay.
Well, what I'll do then is we'll hold off on adding it to the December 2nd agenda until we figure out what they want to do.
Okay.
That's fine.
And I think that's kind of...
So you guys were going to confirm some things regarding the zone, the...
Counties.
Jurisdictional issue as far as the counties and townships go.
And you're going to confirm that the city didn't make a follow-up of any sort?
Yeah.
Post... that letter that they submitted last February. Okay. Was there anything else?
I have one more thing, but I don't think it'll take long. Ms. Jorgensen, I can't remember the first name.
Brenda.
Contacted us post-hearing, and I believe the judge approved accepting the letter. I have the response from Molly that indicates Ms. Jorgensen's home is 4.5 miles from a turbine or 4.5 miles from the project boundary or something like that. Am I understanding that correctly?
4.5 miles east of the area depicted on the map. So 4.5 miles east of the eastern edge of the map in hearing exhibit number 9.
And I'm trying to remember, was there something new that she objected to other than what some of our other testimony was from people who just didn't want it?
No, the majority, it was kind of a summary of kind of everybody's testimony, really, who was opposed to it. She kind of touched on various points, and that's exhibit number 55 is what you're referring to right now. It's just a variety of concerns that she has, mainly due to the environment, visual concerns, just the hustle and bustle that comes with putting in a new type of energy conversion facility like this.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure on our record that it was addressed since it had come in late and that it wasn't just me that seen this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been at the hearing and had talked to him at the hearing about it, and she had to leave.
Yeah,
and so he had agreed that he would take her letter.
I happened to be in earshot when she asked for that. And so I just wanted to make sure it was covered. I kind of felt that all her objections were similar to objections we had heard from others, too. And so I think it's pretty well summarized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, if I could, just the December 3rd, maybe we should do a work session now. I was just looking at the calendar. We've all got pretty heavy schedules the next 2 weeks. And quite honestly, the vote of December 2nd or December 16th, I don't think makes much difference. We've got a lot of stuff out there. Maybe we just do a work session on the 3rd of December and wrap this up for maybe a vote on the 16th. I don't know.
Do you have something else on the 3rd? I didn't bring my calendar.
You got nothing else on the 3rd.
I don't, but I'm in Watford City that day.
Maybe that's why. Okay. All right, well, then we'll put it back to you then, Madam Chair, to how you want to do this. Did you have any particular concerns other than... you laid it all out. We got all the concerns out there.
Yep.
It just seems like there's enough concerns out there that we maybe should have another work session.
Do we want to look at...
Could we schedule it on Wednesday?
Yeah, we sure can.
Yeah, let's add it to that. That's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
All right. Okay. Anything else?
No, ma'am.
All right. The work session on case number 15-482 is concluded.